We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
We are indeed live, ladies and gentlemen, on this Sunday edition, August 5th, and we've got Alex Jones coming up on the other segment. I'm Aaron Dykes, a longtime InfoWars researcher. I'm joined in studio by Rob Due, news director of the InfoWars Nightly News. We are wallowing in news about how the West is backing Syria, how we are backing Al-Qaeda in the effort to topple Assad. Meanwhile, they are making bigger and bigger moves every day, every week to take our remaining liberties here at home. We've got another shooting, this time in Wisconsin at a Sikh temple, and you better believe they're going to use it to try to curb our gun rights. Then in Texas, they're saying there's a new IED threat and they have to merge the military and police so that they can find these improvised explosive devices. All the things that happened in Iraq, they say, are coming home to Texas because of drug cartels and so-called domestic extremists that are really just patriots trying to tell Homeland Security and everybody else to back off. This is Still America. We're going to get into all those issues. Later in the program, we have Max Kaiser with Alex Jones. They're going to break down similar things from the occupied corporate takeover of this country and the whole globe as they transfer water rights, as they try to jam through carbon credits, as they try to just take over ordinary lives. As you well know from the news in the past couple of years, you can't even grow a garden without expecting interference from the federal government and from all kinds of gun grabbers. Rob Due, you're sitting next to me. We're just looking over this news. What do you see going on with this shooting where they say seven are now dead?
Well, it looks like he was taken out by one officer who arrived at the scene. That's what it's saying so far. Another thing in here is that the officer was shot several times and taken to the hospitals and expected to survive. And so interesting stuff. They found four people inside dead, two outside. And then, of course, you know, officers with assault rifles surrounded the building to keep everyone safe after the gunman had been taken care of, when that's usually the case.
I can't wait to see what happens when the real story comes out, because we already know so much about the Colorado Batman massacre, how much that doesn't add up, how they refuse to address the questions about the other shooters, who let him in the door, what was up with the other gas masks, and all the other things that don't fit. They just want to talk about how to curb guns, curb our liberties, and now they're saying that's one of the reasons we have to join forces between the military and police to find IEDs, because this guy had some explosives.
And have more drones in the sky so they could track people and spy on them without anybody knowing. That's what's coming. You have these two main things, this IED thing that just started last week coming into the news. And then we see that the FBI once again has broken up another vicious Aryan motorcycle gang. And this time it just happened to have three undercover FBI agents in it, all of whom were explosives experts.
Every time it's an FBI undercover agent, but now it's no longer Al-Qaeda all the time. It's motorcycle gangs. It's regular Americans. It's people who want to own guns, right?
It's diluting the field, essentially. Anybody can be a terrorist. Anybody who doesn't fit in the clean-cut, white-bread realm of, yes, sir, I'll do whatever the homeland says. If you're not falling right in line, well, you could be a terrorist. You start speaking out like that, you never know.
Well, you know, this is Alice in Wonderland through the looking glass, because everyone's a terrorist except actual Al-Qaeda. Those are our allies, whether in Libya, whether in Syria, whether to oppose Russia. And now there's all these news articles about how accidentally Al-Qaeda showed up when they were put there by the Pentagon folks. And now the Muslim Brotherhood has their own militia inside Syria. We will get into all that. But as I mentioned, Alex Jones is joining us on the other side of this break on this live Sunday edition. And he's going to break down the latest moves to move us further along down the road to martial law, this whole merging of military and police, because non-existent IEDs are going to get us from everywhere as they fuel the drug gangs, as they launder their money on Wall Street, as they invite them into the country to have a destruction party. All that's coming up on the other side. This is InfoWars.com. Stay tuned. Big live Sunday broadcast. We'll be back on the other side.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We are back live at InfoWars.com. I'm today's guest host, Aaron Dykes, but Alex Jones is waiting in the wings. Now, so much is going on in the world. They're ramping up the background noise for World War III. Russia's descending on Syria. Everything's happening with Iran. Meanwhile, they're trying to harden, solidify, and bring home the war on terror to blame domestic terrorists and merge the military and police. Alex Jones, are you there?
Yes, Aaron. Thank you for sitting in on this Sunday broadcast there with the InfoWars Nightly News Director Rob Dew. I know you have a ton of information to cover today. In fact, our top story that I was going to call in and cover in the first segment dealt with a Houston Chronicle report, and I talked about this years ago. The police are being told domestic terrorists, i.e. returning veterans. This is in the MIAC and Homeland Security reports. People remember those coming out when we broke it, when law enforcement sent it to us years ago. They are telling the police that veterans will attack every single jurisdiction in the country with IEDs or improvised explosive devices. This is like saying leprechauns will attack, or Puff the Magic Dragon or the Easter Bunny will attack every single jurisdiction. Police are told they will be attacked by veterans, that veterans are going to start a civil war. ABC is coming out with a new show called Founding Fathers that demonizes veterans and gun owners and Texans. They have also a new show on NBC, Worshiping the UN. This is the globalists who've taken this country over engaging in this. Now, remember, in the last 3-4 years, we've seen internal Homeland Security training videos now that are public. They're going public with them now, where every terrorist is white. Now, again, I don't get into racial issues except when the media engages in divide and conquer. The LA Times 2 weeks ago admitted that when someone of another race commits a mass murder, they withhold the race unless it's white. And in this tragic shooting at the Sikh temple in Wisconsin, within an hour, they want everybody to know it's an evil white lone wolf. Hate crime is what USA Today is saying right now. That's up on InfoWars.com. Now, understand, folks. They don't have one, they don't have two, they don't have three, they don't have four. They have 5 bills racing through Congress that ban all semi-autos, ban all magazines 10 rounds and above, ban possession. We've covered these bills. The media is giving it almost no attention. The UN treaty is not dead to restrict our Second Amendment. It even says in Article 15, foreign troops will disarm the American people. Ladies and gentlemen, so much is happening right now. And notice that a police officer, i.e. someone trained with a gun, responded quickly and took this guy out. And that's the only reason you didn't see more people getting killed. The answer is, when lone nuts, and for 20 years, mass shooting numbers have been flat, the media just hypes them up. There's been a 0.1% increase since 1992. Look it up. Justice Department's own numbers. Kurt Nemo at InfoWars.com has done big, detailed reports on all of this. So what I'm saying to everybody is this. Guns are the answer to defend ourselves from crazies. In every case, including the Colorado shooting, as we predicted, he was on multiple psychotropics, just like Harrison Kleibold, just like Kip Kinkle, just like every other mass shooter, always. I mean, when police pull up to a Houston home a few years ago and the mother had chopped the arms and legs off her baby, they knew what would be in the medicine cabinet. Prozac. It puts you in a hallucinogenic state, a dream state, and when you have a bad trip, you start becoming a homicidal murderer. It says it in the drug insert. That's why teen suicides are off the charts. It makes you commit suicide. It removes your compulsion. If you have a fall thought of mass shooting people, like a robot, you go and do it. The drugs are the issue. And we told you he'd have Pentagon psychologists, top Air Force psych warfare psychologists assigned to him. They knew everything he was, quote, planning. And the witnesses all said that they were seeing multiple people and smoke bombs and multiple gas masks. But all of that's been swept under the rug. Now, that said here, I want to throw it back to the guest host here today, but I was already planning to call in on the issue that is up at Infowars.com, where they are announcing nationwide here in the United States that they want to have basically troops on the streets and all the rest of this. And the Secretary of the Army has said that they want troops on the streets.
Alex Jones, reporting for Info.
And again, I just accidentally played one of my videos where I'm breaking this down on Infowars.com. The point is that they are pushing troops on the streets, TSA-style operations on the streets. It's now all beginning with the ridiculous idea that there will be bombs in every major city. And what they don't say on the news is they're teaching the police. They're teaching the police that veterans will start attacking the police departments. That's the part that's not in the news. That's why they say everyone's going to be attacked by IEDs. And this latest thing, they're saying Mexican drug cartels. Ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing but a giant power grab. Now, the original reason I wanted to have the first segment of the show today was because I wanted to get into another issue that is so big, it is mind-blowing. But at this time, I want you guys to be able to cover false flag, the IED story, the fact that it's finally in hundreds of newspapers, that the Western governments, including our government, are funding al-Qaeda as the main leaders of the takeover of Syria, Jews and Christians being slaughtered en masse at the hands of our Pentagon that's been taken over by the globalists. So I want to turn the show over to you guys and then just look at your schedule today because I know you have a lot. Later, I will call in with a top story for anyone who is concerned in this nation about their power prices doubling or tripling. I'm going to call in later in the show and spend 5 minutes or so breaking down a report that was in the front page of the Austin American Statesman on Friday, Council Eyes Coal Plant Sale. And they go on to say that they've shut down two Austin power plants in the last 10 years. That's why our power prices have roughly doubled. And they go on to say this supplies 33% of our power, the Fayetteville plant, and they're going to shut it down and sell it off because carbon dioxide is evil. All that comes out of those smokestacks in the new plants, folks, is carbon dioxide and water vapor. But the news points at it like it's smoke. But you notice it dissipates. It goes away because all it is hot air and water coming out of there. Hot gases and water coming out of there. Nothing else. And people say, well, why are they doing this? It's happening all over the West. But Austin's one of the worst. San Francisco's doing it, too. Obama, 2 years ago, look it up, signed a waiver for General Electric and two other big companies. Just type in Obama signs General Electric coal plant waiver. They can run even the old 30-year-old dirty ones. They have a waiver. All their competition is being shut down, and the profits of General Electric, who's a globalist anti-American corporation offshore, their profits skyrocket. So it's a bank robbery. There's more than one way to rob a bank, folks. Let's say there's two water districts supplying you water. If you can sell one off for nothing to a company and let them double prices, that's a bank robbery. If cities that have been bought off and paid off by big globalist lobbyists, if they can come in, listen carefully, and have Austin shut down three power plants, which they've already shut down two, that's why you're paying so much more, and they admit it and say it's good for the earth. No, it's not good for the earth. It is a criminal robbery of Austin, Texas. This is death by trendiness, ladies and gentlemen, and it is incredible. There's a video called Agenda 21, cutting off electricity to U.S. cities. It is so off the charts, and the paper keeps everybody in the dark and reports on it like it's a good thing that the mayor, Lee Leffingwell, doesn't want us in Austin, Texas. And this is for people all over the country listening. The same thing's happening. Doesn't want us to be able to have a referendum on our city-owned and paid-for giant, clean, modern electric plant. There's three plants at the Fayetteville facility. We own one of them, and they're going to take it and sell it for almost nothing.
And that is Alex Jones. As you heard, he'll be back later in the show. We'll be back on the other side of this break, too. I have my own documents about the carbon plan in Austin, more than double what the feds want.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
So we are back at Infowars.com. Alex Jones is coming up later in the broadcast. We've got some exclusive clips coming up for you, but we do have seven dead in Wisconsin at a Sikh temple, another act of terrorism brought home to the U.S. At least that's how they're going to brand it, as they hype up non-existent threats one after the other. Now, here in the wake of the Colorado shooting, they're now saying the military and police will have to merge to deal with non-existent IED threats. We've also got in the news Rumsfeld saying Israel doesn't need to notify the U.S. about a strike. You've got Russian warships coming to Syria, and al-Qaeda openly working with the West, the Muslim Brotherhood setting up their own joint operations, and the State Department talking about how accidental it is that al-Qaeda just waltzed into Syria, but how, you know, they're kind of good, not good maybe, but somebody we have to respect and help bring them up. But I want to get into detail. Now, Paul Watson wrote this article on Friday. He's updated it. It's back at Infowars.com, so go read the whole story for yourself. But it's domestic IED threat hyped as justification for martial law takeover, and how the Batman shooting highlights a reason to increase the military role in domestic law enforcement. Let me read you Alex's comments, and we're going to get into how ridiculous and over the top this article in the Houston Chronicle is. Now, Alex says, despite the fact that cases involving the use of improvised explosive devices within the United States are virtually non-existent, the government is hyping the mythical threat so that they can butcher Posse Comitatus and turn up the volume for martial law. That's it. They want to destroy Posse Comitatus. They want to occupy America. They don't want Americans to be Americans. They want them to be helpless, subservient people who fear not having total federal control, who can't even go to the grocery store or the mall without basically peeing in their pants unless there's some kind of TSA or police state apparatus waiting to so-called keep them safe. You know what the founders said about that. Benjamin Franklin famously said, those who trade security for liberty will get neither. Now, it's always been the plan to push IEDs, Alex points out, as a reason to have the military oversee law enforcement. He demonstrated this in Police State 2, the takeover, as far back as 2000. And you saw that footage with Alex approaching checkpoints on Texas highways. Now, here is the Houston Chronicle, which Paul Watson covers in his article. And the headline is, Texas and the U.S. face growing threat of domestic IEDs. Improvised explosives, they note, are well known in Iraq, Afghanistan, etc. They've killed American soldiers. But now they say that threat is coming to Texas and the United States. What do they cite? They cite the Batman massacre, the so-called explosives he had in his apartment, if that's even true, if we find out the truth about that. Then they cite all these other fraudulent attempts. And I've got Rob Dew here to break down how FBI informants were behind the New York City Times Square, the little fizzle firecracker bomb, the so-called ink cartridges that allegedly had explosives that they found, all this made-up garbage, and the Mexican drug cartels, which is a very violent faction, is a real problem, except that it's totally propped up by the CIA. It's totally part of the CIA's drug smuggling operation. Wachovia, Wells Fargo, everyone else from the Big Six banks on Wall Street are admittedly laundering billions and billions, if not trillions, in drug money. They know where it comes from. It's a huge slice of Mexico. But now in America, we have the Joint Improvised Explosive Device Defeat Organization. Tell me that's not Orwellian. The IED Defeat Organization. And they quote an Army Lieutenant General Michael Barbaro. The domestic IED threat from both homegrown terrorists and global threat networks is real and presents a significant security challenge for the United States and our international partners. And they go on to how unfortunate they say it is. They're, quote, complaining about Posse Comitatus separating military, that they can't be used for domestic law enforcement operations. It's a pretty common sense law.
Right. And what they have here is they say the Pentagon spends $1.9 billion a year in this IED organization, and it saved tons of servicemen's lives. So why can't we implemented here. Why can't we have the military working with the police here? That just seems normal, doesn't it?
I mean,
they're just trying to paint it as being a normal thing, that's something that has to happen. And this is in order to get the police working together with the military. And when that happens, the rights are out the window. The guns are being confiscated and people are getting rounded up. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because any kind of self-defense weapon will basically now be called an IED, because you could improvise.
You have
basically, if you're free to make your own decisions, and that you might, you know, 1 out of 1 million people might choose to do something violent, you can't have your rights anymore. They've got to have checkpoints on the highway. Why? Because one time in 2010 in Juarez, which is right on the El Paso border, they had a car bomb from the drug cartels. That's their big incident they cite in this article. But now, isn't it unfortunate we're not allowed to merge military and police? We need to do more training. And they've got this guy, McCall, who's a representative based here in Austin. He's behind the threat fusion centers that work with Homeland Security. This is part of the Homeland Security occupation. Is it not, Rob Duke?
Well, and he's got his big fear-mongering statement here. The military is unable to coordinate with the state and local law enforcement, leaving a gaping hole in our security.
It's crazy, he says.
Yeah, this is crazy that the guy who is an expert in IED overseas can't coordinate with the Texas Rangers. That's another quote from him. And it's just basically to sell the idea that we have to have the military working with the police.
All right, Alex is online. Right. He's going to jump in with a comment as well.
Go ahead, Alex.
Dragged me away today with you guys in there filling in. Listen, they've already had the military since 1988 confirmed. I've seen secret documents. I put it in my film Rotarian. I interviewed a Marine Corps colonel. Since the late 80s, they've had military in plain clothes style police raid jackets raiding homes of what they call high risk warrant service, and they kill Americans all the time. Okay? I mean, they killed a guy up in Georgia using the military just a few months ago because he wouldn't get rid of his chickens. And he was a veteran, and he said, I'm not going to do it. So they came and killed him. They used the military at Waco. I just want to explain to everybody something here, okay? I want everybody to understand something. I told you 15 years ago the National Security Agency spied on everybody with keyword software under echelon, with hubs at all the telecommunications companies. All that's out in the public. Whistleblowers have gone public, and they're trying to arrest the whistleblowers for reporting on felonies. It's a crime. They've always planned to put the TSA on the streets. I told people that 10 years ago. It's now happening nationwide. So this is just the cover story for troops on the streets. Imagine IEDs. How ridiculous. But again, in the actual manuals, you can open the phones up just for police. They'll call and tell you they've read them, but we've published them, republished them. These are highly restricted. They're saying the villains are the enemy, folks. It isn't Al-Qaeda. I know you guys are going to do a big special report on that, and then later I'll call in on the power plant shutdown. This is a criminal globalist takeover. And to get everybody ready for it, they've been training the police for IEDs for 20 years. That's just the cover story that they always use. There, the documents I got at a highway checkpoint that's in my film, Police State 2, The Takeover, that's linked to the article Paul Watson wrote, that's up at Infowars.com, has shows Army checkpoint on I-35, and the FBI pulls up and gives us documents that they thought were a press release that were really secret that explained all the military for warrant service for killing U.S. citizens. God bless you, man.
All right, we're coming up on the break. More Alex Jones on the other side. Aaron Dykes, Rob Dew in studio. We're going to cover the whole gamut of occupied America and this craziness. Tuned in. This transmission is the Info War, and we will wage eternal Info War against the attempt to occupy our minds, our bodies, our soul. And that's what it is. Alex is coming up at the bottom of the next hour. He's dropped off for the moment so he can collect his thoughts and frankly calm down a little bit. But he's going to break down the whole shutting down of power. Coal, love it or hate it, supplies a huge portion of our power in this country. They would rather have us under siege, shut that off, and get us to learn to do with less. It's part of the overall austerity program. It's exactly the kind of thing they had in 1984, where they wanted you mentally, morally, physically too weak to oppose the government, so you could only turn to Big Brother to be your savior. But now, of course, we have Big Sis, too. And isn't she sweet? For years and years, through the whole Obama administration, administration, they have done this PSYOP on the people, and it has nothing to do with Obama. This is the continuity of agenda. They've taken the Bush war on terror, flipped it, turned it on its head, and learned to teach us to hate ourselves and to love Al-Qaeda. It is 100% 1984 plan, a gradual ramping up of just turning sense on its head. Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that's a brilliant description, what you just said there, because that really does encapsulate what it is. They've taken this hype of terrorism, 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 and ingrained it in us since 9/11, that it's going to happen. You know, we got to go out and imperialize the rest of the world. And now it's, well, now we got these veterans.
Now it's white Al-Qaeda. It's lone wolf.
It could be anybody that doesn't like the government, doesn't like this plan of going on out and killing everybody.
No, you got to understand, Rob, dude, because for 3 years, 3-4 years now, Big Sis, the other counterparts from Homeland Security have been saying, we don't have any specific information, but we're absolutely sure it's going to be a returning vet. We're absolutely sure it's going to be a random lone wolf like in the Colorado shooting. We're not behind this. We're not planning it. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're sure. Sure, it's not going to be Al-Qaeda. It's going to be white Al-Qaeda.
Right. That's how it always is. And here we have this. There's an update from USA Today on the shooting at the Sikh temple. 3:30 p.m. The shooter was a white male in his 30s. Vin Bobery, one of the temple's committee members, tells the Journal Sentinel. It's pretty much a hate crime, he tells the news organization. It's not an insider. So because he wasn't somebody who went to the temple, it's automatically a hate crime. We don't know anything about this guy yet. We don't know anything about his past. We don't know anything. And yet it's already come out. They're going to run with this hate crime thing. You know they're going to run with this. This is going to be all over the news. Hate crime, hate crime, hate crime. And then it's about, well, now we got to go after the guns because now we're getting more shootings. More mass shootings are happening. And, you know, who stopped the shooting? One guy with a gun. One guy with a gun stopped the whole thing. You didn't need an army of mechanized SWAT dressed up like Darth Vader going in there and surrounding the place while people get shot on the inside. You had one courageous guy. That's what happened when we had the shooter in Austin back in the 60s. The guy who was shooting people, picking them off from the tower. Two people went up there and took care of them.
Look, we're on KLBJ here in Austin. We're on stations across the country. I know new listeners are tuning in all the time, and they are scratching their heads. Why is Al-Qaeda now our friend, and somehow the homeland's the enemy? You've got to understand this is part of an incremental plan to turn it all against us. They didn't hype up a week ago when there was robbers in a casino, and some 71-year-old concealed carry armed guy shot at the robbers, and they ran away in terror. That wasn't on the national news. That wasn't an issue. Only the Batman shooting in a gun-free, gun-control zone where all the victims were helpless.
In fact, that's one thing we do on the InfoWars Nightly News is when these things happen, we do go out and look for those positive gun stories to show that there is a big difference. Just because there's one mass shooting that they hype up over and over again, that doesn't mean they happen all the time. And then everywhere you look, you can find plenty of local news stories of young kids with guns defending their homes. There was one case, a lady on New Year's Eve shot an intruder. Her husband had just died 2 weeks ago, and she had a shotgun protected her and her baby, guy climbing through the window, and she shot him. She actually called and asked for permission to shoot him, which she didn't have to have. She could have just shot him there, you know, without having that permission. But it's all, you can actually hear it, the 911 call. And that's the kind of stuff that we need to hear more of those positive gun stories, because the criminals know. And it's a disarmed area like Chicago, where they're running rampant right now. They know in those areas they can go and pick off people. And in areas,
Chicago's now the deadliest city in the whole country, in the whole world.
It's a total disgrace.
It's a murder capital.
There you go. And why? Because they have strict gun laws, and it happens everywhere you look. And we used to run an ad about Kennesaw, Georgia. They actually passed an ordinance that everybody has a gun, and their crime rate drops. You know, they want everybody to be armed, and because they know people aren't going to break it.
They've sabotaged the economy on purpose, and they're getting us ready to be occupied by the military, by riot forces, when nobody gets their checks, when everybody on food stamps is not able to eat, when you've got hordes of people looking to survive at any cost who are totally desperate, while brainwashing us into believing there's these lone wolf terrorists everywhere, and that there even are returning vets from Iraq, supposedly our greatest patriots who were supposed to hail and respect and put a ribbon sticker on the back of cars, but now they are the enemy, and that's what they're trying to do to us. Again, we have Paul Watson's article about the domestic IED threat that has been hyped for martial law takeover, and of course, they're expecting somehow it's going to be veterans carrying out these explosives on highways, at places in public, what have you. while they demonize the police, split them, get them, split against the people, divide and conquer, as they invite in the drug gangs to cause more and more chaos. It's just totally bizarre. And they want to merge the military, put them all under Homeland Security, carry out checkpoints, all in the name of IEDs. It's total nonsense, Rob Dew.
And it totally ties in with the FBI going out and creating the problem. They create all these terrorist organizations. They funded Hal Turner. It's admitted. It's already come out in court. And there's a great article there that Paul Watson did, or I think it's Kurt Nimmo, FBI Nazi biker group busts its own group. And, you know, it's taken from this Orlando Sentinel article. A neo-Nazi motorcycle gang created by an undercover law enforcement unit to investigate white supremacists and racist bikers has helped topple two domestic terrorism groups in Central Florida. Early members include at least two additional FBI undercover agents who infiltrated the club. I mean, there it is right there. You got three FBI agents running the whole thing. And they're explosives experts, and they're getting the guy who probably is a racist. I mean, you know, he joined one of these organizations, he's 6'6" guy, and he was supposedly really impressed that they could build all these explosive things. And when they launched one with a remote, he's like, well, I know who we're going after. He wanted to go after another biker gang. But that's not even beside the point. The FBI is in there creating these things. We can even look at it back.
The point is they have a script to exploit the Trayvon shooting, the Colorado shooting, the Gifford shooting, to demonize guns, things like that. If we just stopped FBI and from actually giving bombs to patsy suspects, we would cut down on 95-96% of all terrorism cases. Every case since 9/11 has basically had an FBI informant somehow entangled, usually running the show.
Pretty much running the show. You look at that Portland Christmas tree bomber. The guy was being driven to the site by the informant. The informant got the bomb, got the truck, handed him the cell phone and said, all you have to do is dial this number. Now, if that's not entrapment, I don't know what is. I mean, how could you have one guy get all the stuff and he gets off scot-free because he's an informant? And then it's the one guy, the one patsy. It's always the one patsy who's supposedly this mastermind. It's a 19-year-old kid. You got the same case in Ohio with these five kind of crackhead-looking dudes who were working for a super, and he was the mastermind behind the whole thing. He said, hey, I can get us explosives. Hey, we can all train here. We're going to go after, we're going to blow up this bridge. And they're like, oh, okay. You know, give them enough crack, they'll do whatever you want.
Meanwhile, the TSA has never caught a terrorist patsy. They put the underwear bomber on the plane. It was admitted he had State Department clearance. That was what, Rep Kennedy, somebody like that?
Patrick Kennedy.
Patrick Kennedy broke that. We had the eyewitness, Kurt Haskell, on the ground who witnessed the sharp-dressed man getting him on the plane. That doesn't matter, though. TSA has to roll out to train stations, to bus stations. They're coming to sports stadiums, malls. Your public life is going to be taken over by goon squads, and you're going to learn to love it unless we fight back in the info war and stop these people before they start an all-out civil war.
Totally agree. And going back to Haskell a little bit, on top of watching that, he witnessed the total cover-up of the FBI back on the domestic side, changing their story five times. Oh, there wasn't a second guy, but then there was. But we got him because it was some agricultural thing. Well, then it was on an immigration-related thing. You know, they just keep changing their story to try and
learn to love your servitude, Rob, dude. We're going to cover the Al-Qaeda hypocrisy. We're covering the Al-Qaeda hypocrisy when we get back. All this other domestic news, cybersecurity, maybe through an executive order. Stay tuned. Infowars.com worldwide.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it any more than you think.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Look at your young men fighting. Look at your women crying. Look at your young men dying the way they've always done before.
We We are back at Infowars.com. I'm your co-host, Aaron Dykes. With me is Rob Dew. Alex will again be dropping back in next hour to break down some of the most important energy news, how Obama's threatened to bankrupt the coal industry and basically make Americans deal with less. Now, we've got the shooting in the news at the Sikh temple. Another important story, though, is the defeat of the cybersecurity bill. This also included gun control registration and an attempt to take over the internet in that freedom. Now, that has been defeated, but Obama is now promising he may issue an executive order. That's in the Hill today. And we know they've been through CISPA, PIPA, and all kinds of other attempts to rein in the internet freedom. Megadeth's Dave Mustaine, disgusted with Obama's attack on wealth. There's been some news circulating after he appeared here on the Alex Jones Show not long ago. That's linked up at Infowars.com. You can watch that interview in full. Lots of exclusive hard-hitting information. But we're really talking about Al-Qaeda and how the Pentagon has run them as a can opener, as a false threat, as a shadow boogeyman for decade after decade in country after country, because we have an imperial force which is trying to play the great game. It's trying to take over the grand chessboard. And today, of course, we have all kinds of headlines about Al-Qaeda inside Syria, about the Muslim Brotherhood poised to take over that country, Libya, Egypt, you name it, one country after another, because the wizards at the Pentagon long ago came up with the clash of civilizations. One conflict is only meant to lead into another conflict.
That's right. In 10 years, it's going to be, we got to go back into Egypt. We got to go back into Libya. We got to go back into Syria and take out these Al-Qaeda regimes. But now we're arming them and supporting them and helping them take over and overthrow the governments that were already there.
Again, this is 1984. We've always been at war with East Asia. We've never been at war with East Asia. And you've always got the hyper threat boogeyman external enemy that they use to get knee-jerk support. And so what's happened is, when you go back to Afghanistan, the Soviets were our great enemy then. So we funded bin Laden. We funded the Taliban. Zbigniew Brzezinski took helicopters over there, trained them how to use weapons, trained them how to fight wars. We had shadow advisors, members of the CIA, all before we officially had our own troops in there helping to support the same exact group that would later be known as our evil demon Al-Qaeda. But then they were our friends, our allies. Indeed, Ronald Reagan would go on to publicly call them founding fathers, like George Washington, who once again is a threat today. So you've got Al-Qaeda built by the West, totally Pentagon built, CIA built, Western backed. You've got MI6, you've got Israeli intelligence, Mossad, Pakistani intelligence. These are the people wagging the dog on who you've learned to hate, bin Laden and his evil Al-Qaeda. But that was just phase one. They were later shipped over to Yugoslavia to help in that breakup and that destabilization operation. They would move down to different parts of Africa and the Middle East. But now in this modern age, under the war on terror, they're the evil boogeyman that all Americans fear. Yet now they're an ally once again. And so under the State Department, under Hillary's State Department, and under this Pentagon plan, we physically shipped members of Al-Qaeda to Libya. We literally airlifted them to Al-Qaeda to overthrow Gaddafi. We backed them. NATO ran no-fly zones, dropped bombs, flew planes, all to back this Al-Qaeda military force. Then they handed the country over to the Muslim Brotherhood. And it's happened in Egypt.
Afghanistan. Back at right after 9/11, we airlifted them out of there. The airlift of evil. That was the first moving them to another location, undisclosed location, where they could rearm, re-up, and then send them out and do more damage. And then the ones that we've pulled into Guantanamo, all of a sudden these guys are coming out and becoming, they're bombing bus stations in Western Europe. They're doing shootings. These people, this is a little factory where they're creating little mind control slaves to go out and then do the bidding. If they weren't a terrorist before, well, after they come out of Guantanamo, they're definitely a terrorist now.
Oh, yeah. This is all going on, and it's all about so central bankers can rule. They've got the list of countries. The hit list was exposed. Paul Wolfowitz, among other people, had that hit list. You had generals come forward talking about it, naming the specific countries, Syria, Libya, Iran, Iraq. They were all on that list. Now we have once again literally airlifted Al-Qaeda from Libya to Syria. Just as he mentioned, the airlift of evil after 9/11 and the lead up to 9/11. So now the stage is set in Syria. We must topple Assad only so we could keep the dominoes toppling, only so we could pursue a wider war and more greatly destabilize the Middle East region. Now, there's this headline from the London Telegraph, Libya, the West, and Al-Qaeda on the same side. This is admitted. This is in the mainstream press. This article is from March 2001. You can see it right here, the West and Al-Qaeda on the same side. It's admitted. I got a whole stack of it. Now, the same thing is going on in Syria. We've got Al-Qaeda tries to carve out a war for itself in Syria. Headline, Al-Qaeda ladies choir struts its stuff in rebel Syria. You've got Al-Qaeda seeking to manipulate tensions in the Middle East of its own advantage, warns experts. You've got German intelligence, Al-Qaeda all over Syria. That's in the Asia Times. The New York Times, Al-Qaeda taking deadly new role in Syria's conflict. Time, meet the Islamist militants fighting alongside Syria's rebels.
And there we have a Washington's blog article from August 3rd, government policy leading to persecution of Christians. And the end of this article, after it goes through a bunch of links, it's not a very lengthy article, but it has a lot of links to it. At the end, it says the U.S. is supporting Al-Qaeda and other terrorists in Syria, funding terrorist groups in Iran, supporting Al-Qaeda terrorists in Libya. And then it says the U.S. supports Saudi Arabia as one of its closest allies, even though Saudi Arabia restricts religion other than Islam. Christians are arrested and lashed in public for practicing their faith. Muslims are forbidden to convert to another religion. And then you have a 9/11 commissioner and co-chair of the Congressional Inquiry into the 9/11 say in sworn declarations that Saudi Arabia government is linked to the 9/11 attacks. Yet they're our biggest allies because they keep the thumb on the rest of the Middle East wherever we want them to.
Look, Assad is a dictator. He's not a good guy. I don't back Assad. But at the same time, he's a sectarian stabilizing force there in Syria. You've got Al-Qaeda literally carrying out civilian massacres. They blame it on Assad, but it comes out later that it's these rebel forces lining up civilians, shooting women and children. They're burning Christian churches. And here we are, a supposedly Christian nation with our foreign policy, all kinds of whack, but we're supposedly making the mental power to allow for fighting with Muslim extremist Al-Qaeda as an ally, as they burn Christian churches in Syria, shoot priests, and dance around in the uniforms as they continue to burn and pillage and rape the major cities of Syria.
And on top of that, our mainstream media, what are they doing? CNN, you have them with Syrian Danny. You have them showing video of these fake massacres of you can actually see the people getting up and laying down him, having blood poured on him. They're showing fake funerals where a guy's supposedly dead, and then later on they tickle his nose and he starts laughing. It's over and over again. The mainstream media is there playing that card, saying we have to go in and do this. This is our duty because, we got to stop Assad. We have to stop Assad. He's killing people. He's massacring people. He's, you know, and it's all fake. It's all fake. And it's the ones that were doing the terror. It's Al-Qaeda.
Look, most of the modern wars since the age of radio, TV, and print as well has been about war propaganda. Almost every major war in the 20th century was built on a false flag pretext lie. But now we see a micromanaging of the propaganda with these smaller regional conflicts. I wrote about this last week. Wag the dog, media published Photoshop forgery to sell image of war-torn Syria. And they got caught taking a file photo of a man with a baby and a woman in burqa and superimposed it on a blown out city to create a completely manufactured false image of the war. And that's not all. The State Department is saying Al-Qaeda got into Syria all by accident when they were admittedly propped up by the West. We'll get into more of those details, but there's a lot more coming up on the show. Infowars.com, PlanetInfowars.com. You create your own network to fight. We'll be back after this.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back at Infowars.com. I'm your co-host, Aaron Dykes. Rob Dew is sitting with me. Alex Jones is coming up. He's waiting in the wings, but this is hour two of our Sunday broadcast. We are going to finish up with some of the Al-Qaeda deception news, how they want to bring the war on terror here at home. But later in the broadcast, Alex is going to discuss the energy sanctions, the attempt to siege the people of America, make them freeze when it's cold, make them burn when it's hot. Because after all, retirees on pension that's being stolen from bankers can't afford to turn up the air when they triple the prices. Meanwhile, Walmart has okayed the selling of genetically modified sweet corn. This is a battle we knew was coming for some time. Rob Dew's going to cover that in the next segment. And furthermore, GMO crops are mutating. They now have to have Kevlar tires just to roll over the crops because of their spear-like tips. All that is developing. But Al-Qaeda fighting in Syria, here's what the State Department said about how basically Al-Qaeda just accidentally showed up in Syria when the West literally physically shipped them in a helicopter over there, troop after troop, division after division. State Department, Al-Qaeda in Iraq fighting Syria, because it's admitted, because it's in all the mainstream news, so they have to spin the story and try to explain why we are allies with our enemy. Terrorists gravitate towards areas of instability and strife, Ambassador-at-Large Daniel Benjamin told reporters, as if they just randomly showed up in Syria, as if it was just a game between the West, Russia, and the Mideast dictators, and then just by chance, the destabilizing force, Al-Qaeda, showed up. No, Al-Qaeda is a foreign policy tool. It's a fake shadow puppet. It's a fake opposition. Because it's easier to control your own opposition than to fight a real enemy. Instead, it's better to bat the real enemy over the head, confuse the onlookers, and sideswipe them, get them with a covert operation. The whole Syrian Transition Council met at Bilderberg. It was crafted by the West. It's led by this woman called Basma Khodmani, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a longtime member of the Ford Foundation. Her father was an ambassador at the United Nations. She's in bed with Hillary Clinton, along with, Huma and everybody. This is an operation to implant the Muslim Brotherhood and the other radical sects so they can take over the Middle East so we have a wider enemy down the road. That's if the whole Iranian thing doesn't lead to war. That is what Syria is all about. What are your comments, Rob Dew?
Well, it's the same story every time, and right now, we're funding terrorist groups in Iran. Pretty soon, we're going to say Iran is hiding Al-Qaeda. They've all fled to Iran. Now, we have to go in and get them. That's the next card to be played after Syria. And then it's going to be into Africa if we don't destroy ourselves going to war with Iran, because Iran's actually a tough opponent. And that's what scares me the most, going to war with an opponent that can actually fight. It's not going to be a slam dunk, as they said, you know, going into Baghdad, where we ended up in a 10-year quagmire there, and then also in Afghanistan. So really what I'm looking at is the war aspect that they're pushing. They're going to try to pump this up, create some sort of false flag. We've got the ailing Enterprise in sitting there in the middle of the Gulf right now. It's on its last voyage. How convenient if it were to go down in the next 2 weeks or so.
Iran, among these other countries we seem to have to go to war with in the Middle East, have literally been on the hit list for 20 years or more that we know of, specifically on what they call the hit list. And yet, it seems as though in the last 5, 6, 7 years, they've really been angling for the Iran war. The question they've asked in their policy papers, whether it's at the Brookings Institute or you name it, is which path to Persia? Not will we go into Iran, but how? Will sanctions be enough, or will it be by toppling someplace like Syria first? And now they admit the Muslim Brotherhood is establishing their own militia with the rebels to fight against Assad in Syria. We're going to get into that. Energy news, GMO news, and so much more. Stay tuned. Infowars.com. Alex Jones coming up later in this hour. This is the Sunday broadcast.
We We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Back at InfoWars.com, this is Aaron Dykes. I'm sitting in so Alex can try to get a breather, a little rest on the traditional Sabbath day so he can come back in full force on Monday. You have no idea how hard Alex works. We do our best to support him here. Rob Dew is sitting co-pilot with me. Now, if you just joined us, we've been getting into the Al-Qaeda deception. How did they become our official admitted ally in Syria, as well as, of course, Libya? Well, the Pentagon has been backing Al-Qaeda for more than 20 years. It started in Afghanistan. Bin Laden has a CIA code name. It's Tim Osman. He's been an asset of the West. His banker family was friends with Western banker families. It goes on and on. There's no end to that evidence. If you've never looked into it, you've got to use keyword searches, why we still have the internet, and learn the truth for yourself, because we're living in a deluge. We're living in a storm, a precipitous disinfo cloud meant to shatter our minds and keep us from understanding what's really going on. So we're completely helpless to fight back. And I don't mean physical fight, but just the awareness in the mind. Just knowing that you are alive and turned on is enough to put this lousy, phony propaganda to bed. Now, on the Syria issue, we've got this article here out of The Guardian. Obama signs order supporting Syria's rebels. And no, it has nothing to do with a phony, made-up assassination attempt on bin Laden or anything else. This is an admitted order to back Al-Qaeda, which they call the Syrian rebels. Just as they've backed at the globalist United Nations level, the Syrian National Council, a phony body to give the appearance of legitimacy as they topple Assad, to fool the people watching from at home in England, from watching at home in America and the other countries in Europe and around the world, to make them think maybe we have some kind of legitimate basis for what we're doing in Syria, when in fact we don't. We don't know if they're going to put ground troops on there. I'd say at this point it looks more likely that their proxy rebels, better known as Al-Qaeda, will burn and loot the whole of Syria enough to do it all on their own.
Well, they will be led by U.S. commandos. They always are. There's always these black ops that are in the country that are kind of running the show. They're passing out the money. They're keeping the arms flowing. Notice these guys always have brand new AK-47s. You know, there's always pictures of these guys having pristine weaponry. Where do these ragtag rebels, these guys from nowhere, no base of operations, where do they come up with the money and the funds and the infrastructure to get these weapons?
Well, that's funny you say that, because I have this other article from the London Telegraph. Muslim Brotherhood establishes militia inside Syria. And they say, we're not part of Al-Qaeda. We're not part of the Free Syrian Army. We are with, of course, the Western created and backed Syria National Council, just a globalist ruse. But they say, well, we just randomly saw that there were civilians with weapons inside. So we decided to organize them, back them, and put them under, quote, one umbrella. One big happy Muslim Brotherhood family.
Always keep it centralized. That's the key to doing all these fake, I guess, fake invasions is what we're having. I mean, there's a real invasion, but it's fake as to whose side we're on or whose side we're not supposedly on. And it's the same thing. It goes on and on. Now, I'd like to jump to this Walmart thing, because this is going to happen to everybody out there who's going to buy their food. It's already been in processed food since the 90s. It's the genetically modified corn that they tell you is great for you, except when they do the studies with the rats. Well, they all
it's become one GM crop after another that causes organ failure, that's been found to cause sterility, that's been found to cause a hidden tracer third generation sterility that doesn't even show up in rats, of course, over a course of weeks, but in humans over the course of generations, 40 years maybe, till we see this kind of thing really fall out in a serious way.
Exactly. So I might be eating Doritos now that have them, and you know, it's not going to affect me, and it's not going to affect my kids, but my kids' kids, well, suddenly they won't be able to have children. Or they'll have total organ failure and die at maybe, you know, 10, 20 years old, whatever.
But this has been a big fight about the sweet corn because they've had other GMO corns that they mix into foods that are processed
right.
or they feed to livestock. But this one is actually meant for you to roast and eat.
This is the corn on the cob, if you think of the actual corn on the cob. And it is ridiculous. Walmart Stores Incorporated says it has no objection to selling a new crop of genetically modified sweet corn created by the biotech giant Monsanto. After looking at both sides of the debate and collaborating with a number of respected food safety experts, there's no significantly validated reason to implement restrictions of this product, they said to the Tribune. Now, and this is Monsanto, what they say is the corn which is being harvested, you don't need as much insecticide. It says Monsanto's genetically modified sweet corn is resistant to a common herbicide, which is Roundup, which allows farmers to kill weeds without killing the corn. But what they don't tell you is that because it's resistant to Roundup, they spray more of it on the product, on the crop, to kill more weeds even quicker. So you're getting more Roundup plus the genetically modified stuff on top of it. So it's a double whammy that they're feeding us right now. And I remember, you know, we've had all kinds of studies on Roundup and what it does. It causes cancer. There's no doubt about it.
And it destroys your immune system, whether it's the type of GMO that produces its own pesticide or whether it's resistant to Roundup and the other pesticides they spray on it. You eat it, it goes into your gut where you've got all kinds of little micro absorbers, the little bacteria that do the good things in your body. That's being destroyed by the pesticide. And in some parts of the body, in some cases, it's replicating the pesticides, little pesticide factories inside your gut, destroying your ability to stave off other diseases. It's going to be a total epidemic.
And like we said before, it's been in processed food since the 90s, but this is where it's going to come out. Sitting there on the cob, you're going to be roasting it. You're going to have your GMO corn filled with Monsanto's genetically modified goodness and the Roundup all mixed together, growing inside the cob itself. And there's been a doubling of food allergies in this country since 1996 is what it also says in this. And the Consumer Reports people think it's connected to genetically modified foods. It's probably connected to a lot of things, but GMO is definitely on that list.
There's a cocktail mixture, but the GMOs are coming on so strong. The other part of that you have to understand is they've had 4, 5, 6 major GMO crops in the last decade. That alone has been a major fight over regulatory issues. Will they be really tested? Not really, because Monsanto puts its own vice presidents, its own lobbyists in at the FDA. They, for all intents and purposes, own the FDA, the USDA, and the other people who would normally regulate GMOs. And there's a whole international battle. You notice many European countries don't want to accept GMO. But now, under the Trans-Pacific Partnership, if you want to export products to Asia, which obviously Europe does, so do we in the United States, you're going to have to accept low-level presence GMOs. And they're going from less than 10 major GMO crops to more than 120 crops, more than 120 crops that they want to approve in just the next couple decades. And they're completely destroying all regulatory processes. They've got riders in Congress and bills that are probably going to be passed that basically mandate that all GMOs will be fast-tracked approved with no real inspections, no testing for long-term problems. This is a takeover. They don't want labeling. They don't want you to know what you're eating.
And there's going to be no liability. So you can't sue them even after these tests that have been suppressed. They'll finally see the light of day. People are going to start suing. People are going to say, you know, this is why I have, you know, celiac disease or my gut's totally torn up is because I'm eating this junk. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And we don't know when these things spread out in the fields and they cross-pollinate, we don't know what's going to happen to regular corn. We don't know what's going to happen to regular soybeans or sugar beets. You know, those are the main crops for GMOs. And those are out there. And we know they cross-pollinate because we've already seen Monsanto go out and sue farmers when their crop cross-pollinates with another crop. They sue them for patent theft.
It's an ingenious takeover. Who benefits from the cross-pollination, even if it's an accident? Well, it destroys competition. It destroys nature's competition. the naturally existing, good for you, things that have learned over thousands and millions of years to interact with our bodies, provide nutrition. No, they know better, and through intellectual property rights, they want to take it over and have a monopoly over the foods you eat, over your actual ability to live and reproduce. We'll be back on the other side, InfoWars.com. Lots more news. We're going to cover the energy spectrum and how that, too, is a takeover inside the United States. InfoWars Nightly News, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. This is InfoWars.com. I'm Aaron Dyke. Sitting with me is Rob Dew. We're an eternal war, an info war, to fight back against the lies and the propaganda, try to take our country back, restore something called common sense. But, of course, the globalists are waging their own war, and they never rest either. Now, we were going to cover Max Keiser and Alex Jones. They were on Keiser's show last week. Monsanto tyranny, economic collapse, stage terror, and more. We're going to have to put that off because of the breaking news. But I want to point out what a great breakdown it was about the privatization of water, how they don't want you to even be allowed to collect your own rainwater. Tie that in with how they've been going after gardeners, lemonade stands, and you name it. But Paul Joseph Watson only gets one day off a week, but he's working anyway on that day off, which is today, Sunday. He's got a new report on eyewitness. An eyewitness at the Sikh temple shooting says there was a four-man team behind it, even though the media have already made bold moves to tie it to a lone gunman to sell this story of the lone wolf, the returning veteran terrorist, the white Al-Qaeda in America going after these different minority groups. Right. And Obama's got his own statement about how great the Sikhs are. And
well, we showed you in USA Today how they automatically came out and said it was one guy, it was a white guy, it's obviously a hate crime. So USA Today is running with the hate crime narrative already. I just watched the video underneath Paul's, which is probably what he's alluding to, and the guy's saying that they have one guy down, there's three more inside with the hostages. So he's talking about a hostage situation.
They claim they already killed the shooter, but now eyewitnesses are saying there's others inside. They're getting that report ready. It's a short report, but we're going to play at least part of it here. Let me know when it's ready. But it reads, an eyewitness to the Sikh temple shooting in Wisconsin says a team of four men dressed in black carried out the massacre, contradicting the official narrative that a lone gunman was the culprit. And this is just like the Batman massacre.
Exactly.
The witnesses all said, hey, I think there was another shooter. I saw somebody. It looked like someone opened the door. We saw another gas mask. Is this what really happened? But no, the police chief has to come forward and say, it's one guy. Everybody be afraid of those individual lone people out there with paramilitary gear ready to kill everybody.
I only saw one witness say it was one shooter. And it was a Fox News report, and this guy looked like an actor. The way he was crying, he pulled up the ticket and said, this is my ticket stub. And he said, out of the blue, he goes, and I just want to say, there was only one shooter. And then he goes back to crying how he's got this ticket stub and it's going to affect him.
Oh, yeah, they've always got people on the scene to sell the official story. But this is breaking news. We got the video from Paul Watson ready. He's working on Sunday. Let's go to that video right now.
Hey, it's Paul Joseph Watson with InfoWars.com and more breaking news on these Sikh temple shootings in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Of course, you remember the Colorado Batman shootings. Multiple eyewitnesses reported two shooters, and there were reports of gas canisters being thrown from two different sides of the theater. Then, of course, the original police report said that they were looking for two or more shooters. Well, it's happened again. An eyewitness to the Sikh temple shootings says that a four-man team dressed in black carried out the massacre. And this is a clip on YouTube that I've just seen here. So we're going to play this clip. Listen very carefully to what this eyewitness says about the shooting.
We have our temple service every Sunday. Starts around 10:30, and usually goes in the afternoon, and around 10, between 10 and 10:30, four white males who were dressed darkly, dressed in all black clothing, came in and opened fire on the on our congregation.
So he said between 10 and 10:30, four males dressed in black, who were dressed in black. Notice the words he uses. He didn't say was dressed in black like it was one guy. He said between 10 and 10:30, four males dressed in black came in and carried out the shooting. Now, of course, the police are saying that it was one guy that he was shot dead. But already, hours after the incident, we have eyewitnesses once again contradicting the official narrative that's all being shaped around the notion that this guy was a, again, a lone gunman, angry white man in his 30s who committed a hate crime. So they're already gearing up to blame it on, you know, conservative, libertarian, angry white
and, guys. And we'll just leave it right there, but it's all at Infowars.com. Breaking news, eyewitness says four shooters on the scene. I know some of that audio was not completely intelligible for radio, but the video is up on Infowars.com. You can watch it in full for yourself. But we knew to watch out for the self for this stuff, and we know it's probably going to be a total terror storm leading up to this election, because that's what they always do. That's how the Obama advisors have been for 2-3 years now, telling us, look out, there's going to be another false flag attack. Look out, we need to exploit tragedies. Obama really needs a bounce in his public approval so we can get him reelected and hammer home gun control agenda, you know, illegal immigrants, having total amnesty, and so much more. And here's all these shootings leading up one after another, unconnected. Another tragedy in Wisconsin, a tragedy in Colorado, the Trayvon shooting, meant to divide people against each other. Rob, dude, this is part of their plan.
It goes on and on and on. And I'm amazed that we've got this information out this quickly. This is really amazing that we've already got eyewitness testimony out there. Four shooters. That's going to be hard to dismiss. How are they going to do that? That's what I'm anxious to see how the cops are going to
do. Well, people are catching on because they do it over and over again.
Right. And this guy looks calm. He was there. He saw it happen. He said four men opened fire. So I can't wait to see what their response is after this, because they're already saying they're running with the narrative. It's one shooter, hate crime, one shooter, hate crime. And what we're going to see eventually is that it's not one shooter. It's a group, and it's probably a rogue government group.
But then it's on Drudge Report, and they link to the New York Times or something. NYPD sending cops to Sikh temples throughout the city as a precaution. So already they're saying police protection is your only salvation, your only answer, and they're going to go guard the Sikh temples. They're going to go guard every group until they've occupied this whole country in the name of false flag terror, in the name of the boogeyman under the bed, in the name of defeating and destroying your independence, your ability to live outside of the federal system until they have total power. They will never stop until they have total power. And when they have total power, they're going to kill until the blood runs in the streets, because that's what tyrants have done throughout history. And using the tools of the 20th century, they've done it even more. And propaganda is one of those tools.
Right. And what's crazy is after they do this and they run out of cops, they're going to go, oh, now we got to send National Guard out. Now we got to send TSA out because we don't have enough people to cover every place where more than five people gather, which is supermarkets, train stations, bus stations, airports is already covered, but you're going to see National Guard out in the front of the airports searching people as they come in. You're going to see more checkpoints on the highways, and this is all supposedly to these mass shooters, to these people who are going to be planting IEDs, returning veterans, people who we were supposed to, we were taught that we had to, you know, bow down to, especially because they were going to war in the name of the empire.
And here again, you've got a temple, just like a church, another place they've said guns don't belong. People used to bring guns to church. It's part of self-defense. It's part of American culture. And that would stop things at a Sikh temple pretty much as equally as a Christian church or any other place of worship. This is about disarming in America, learning to bow down to power. We'll be back after this. We're going to get into energy news. And again, Alex Jones is coming up. Stay tuned. We're going to keep an eye on these bastards. They can't do this to us. This is our country. We're back at InfoWars.com, halfway through the broadcast. We're well into the second hour. Alex Jones is coming up on the other side of this break, and we're going to break down so much of this energy news. Austin is trying to sell off its share of coal, which provides a great deal of power here in Travis County and throughout Texas, as well as to the neighboring states, even Mexico itself. But first, we've got so much other news to get into. Rob Dew's going to break down GMOs. We've just covered the Syria Al-Qaeda deception. And of course, we have breaking news on the Sikh temple shooting. We're in a sense all over the map because this stuff is really happening and we are being attacked from all fronts. But Rob Dew, we had some more to talk about on the GMO front.
Right. And just because we're surrounded, you know, we could shoot in all directions. So there we go. We got Kevlar tires now required to traverse spear-like GMO crops, and that's from Anthony Gucciardi. This is an InfoWars.com article. It's on there today. It was posted today. It says, the spear-like stalks harvested from GMO corn are absolutely wreaking havoc on the heavy-duty tractor tires. Described by one farmer as a field of little spears, farmers are now turning to Kevlar tires, which is bulletproof vest material, in case you don't know that. The stalks are so sharp and weapon-like, they can wreck an entire set of wheels. So instead of a set lasting 5 or 6 years, they're down to just one or two. And these tires are about $1,000 a piece. So you're looking at, you know, these things are totally mutating. But, you know, who knows what they're going to be at, you know, when they send this stuff to the landfill, they're going to burn this stuff off. Who knows what's going to happen to it after, you know, we're done eating it.
Well, you've got GMOs wrecking the entire ecosphere, but now farm equipment.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just limited to our bodies and to the bee population and to the general environment, like the genetically modified salmon, which is going to take over all salmon within, what, they said 10 generations, 15 generations? I'll have to look that up. But that's another thing to worry about. They're going to start putting out these genetically modified animals, and they're going to start breeding with regular animals. And then that's when it starts happening. That's when you get the mutations 5 or 6 generations down the line that you weren't thinking about, those unintended consequences that we know happens when you go down that road where you start interfering with nature. And speaking of nature, let's go back to this energy situation that we're talking about with Austin. They're going to triple our prices pretty soon.
Look, we're a developed nation. We have learned to live with energy. We're in the modern world. People have air conditioning. They have electricity. We've got a lot of people dependent on government. We also have a lot of people, especially here in Texas, other parts of the Southwest and the free parts of the nation that are still independent. And yet we're all on this grid for the most part. They don't really want people off the grid. That's a whole separate story. But the point is, Obama has said in famous clips that he wants to bankrupt the coal industry. They want to shut down so-called carbon-emitting things, all to save the earth and green things, which has all been exposed as a scam. You've seen the resistance against global warming. You've seen how it's actually genocidal, how the threat itself is not the genocidal threat, but responding to it, clamping down on the economy will kill people in the developing world. When you shut down electricity here in America, it means old ladies on pension are going to freeze in the winter because they can't afford to pay their power bill. Or you always read about every year people who die because they won't turn on their air conditioner because they can't pay for it because the power companies jack up the prices 2 and 3 times in the summer.
Right. And then what you have them turning to is they're saying, well, we're going to replace coal with wind. That's what they're always saying. That's the next step. It's wind, wind, wind. They keep pushing wind. But when you actually look at wind and what the numbers are behind it, it's not the panacea. It's not going to cure all our ills. In fact, it's just going to create a whole nother infrastructure that we have to build on top of the existing power plants. Because when the wind doesn't blow, you're not getting electricity. And in 1998, Norway commissioned a study of wind power in Denmark, which is one of the biggest wind-producing countries in the world, and they concluded it has serious environmental effects, insufficient production, and high production costs. And they have over 6,000 turbines, which produce electricity equal to 19% of what the country used in 2002. Yet, no conventional power plant has been shut down. The reason they can't shut down is when the wind's not blowing or when they have to take some of these turbines out of production. Well, you have to have something else to take over the load. So you still have to keep that other power plant there online So this whole fictional reduction of CO2 thing just doesn't cut it.
Well, if the alternative energy worked like they say it did, it might be a pretty good option. But even if you get solar cells, you have to sell the power back to the city, and they still hold you hostage on the grid. But that's the larger issue of what we're talking about. This is a local Texas issue, but it is happening all across the country. Now, here's the news. Alex did a video on it. It's up on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube. You can watch it in full. It's also posted on Infowars.com. But Austin has a ballot measure to sell the city's share of the coal-burning Fayette power plant, which provides one-third of Austin's electricity. And it's going to be on the ballot in November, and they're trying to sell it off to save the earth. Environmental activists have been calling for it because even though it's cheap electricity, it puts out a lot of carbon dioxide, which plants breathe, which we need to sustain life on earth. All the things you've been told on that front are a deception and lie. But as you begin to break through that, you may not realize the extent of the politics just with coal. Now, in Texas, coal provides more than 50% of all electricity across the state. It's shared with New Mexico, Oklahoma, I believe parts of Arkansas, parts of Louisiana. Mexico usually traditionally gets power from our coal burning stuff. So it's sent all across the region, but they want to clamp it down because of their ambitious, as it says here in this Austin American Statesman article, their ambitious plan to curb the contribution to global climate change. Now, what is that ambitious plan? I've got one form of it right here. It's a document published in January 2010, Resource and Climate Protection Plan through the year 2020. And its recommendations specifically for Austin Energy right here in Austin, Texas. But I'm sure this is going on everywhere. But you go through and they've got a graph about how as of 2009, coal is a full third of our energy here in Austin. Nuclear does a quarter, wind does 12%, natural gas together does almost 30% of power as well. But by 2020, they want to shift coal down to 23%, wind to 26%, and on and on. This is the graph right here of the carbon cuts they wanted under Waxman-Markey. That was the federal carbon scheme legislation where you were going to pay taxes to Al Gore. He's going to become a carbon billionaire, as the articles noted. Goldman Sachs will trade the carbon credits and they will make a fortune, but you will do with less. You will pay more for less while the big companies get rich. Now, here's the curve right here for Waxman-Markey. This legislation didn't pass because, thank God, there was a resistance to it. But Obama didn't stop there. He used the EPA through executive orders, through policy in the White House Department branch to impose it upon the whole country anyway. And you've got Lisa Jackson at EPA, who's tied to Goldman Sachs, of course, and imposing this. But look, one second, okay. Look at this curve. This is Austin's plan through 2020 to do probably double the carbon cuts. They want an even more outrageous carbon cutting plan than the actual federal Waxman-Markey legislation would have put in. That's what they're doing in Austin. That's why they're cutting coal.
And this is an issue that is nationwide. It's not just here to Austin. It's not just regulated.
But they're starting in Texas because it's one of the big strongholds of coal.
It is, but you can look anywhere. All you have to do is type coal plant shut down. We covered 8 stories just in different regions happening this year. That's just not even, we're 8 months into the year right now of coal plants all over the country that are being shut down. They're being mothballed. They're not, their contracts are not getting renewed. And this is a big attack on coal, and it's all has to do with
the It's a plan EPA to bankrupt coal on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a plan to bankrupt individuals driving up power. Now, Alex is coming up on the other side of the break, but I want to point this out. I saw the documentary. You can watch it too. Enron, the smartest guys in the room. Enron, the smartest guys in the room. Enron, those are a bunch of criminals, right? You know what they did that they have on tape? They have the actual audio tapes in California. Enron ran their own power scam where they artificially shut down power plants so they could drive up the prices more than threefold, 50-fold in some cases, all to suck it out of some little old lady's bank account. They're going to keep doing that. That's what Obama's doing to the EPA and those policies. They want your pocketbook. They want you to do more with less. Alex Jones on the other side. This is an attack on America. We're going to break it down. Stay tuned. Infowars.com.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So on the other side of the break, we tried to break down how coal is this captured market thing. They capture the market, and they tell you what you're allowed to buy and how much you're going to pay, and you're going to pay more. Alex is here to give his take on it. I won't mince any words. He's got other important issues, too. Alex, are you there?
Yes, sir. Obviously, later in the week, I'm going to get more into the energy takeover because now it's happening, and I'll cover some of that in a moment. But at InfoWars.com, Paul Watson has articles and video where multiple witnesses now are talking about four gunmen in black shooting people, similar to what we saw at Columbine. That was in the Rocky Mountain News and Denver Post. We see this over and over again. Now, I want to explain something. If the criminals that have hijacked our government, the organized crime syndicate, which staged Fast and Furious, that's killed thousands conservatively, to blame the Second Amendment, they will stage mass shootings or have mentally ill people they profiled under government psychiatrist care, like the Joker shooter at the Batman event. And I remember I predicted that. I said, watch, he'll be under a former top PSYOP person. This woman was the head of the Air Force program, had been cited for being part of weird experiments and drugging. It's the same MO over and over again, ladies and gentlemen. The Mumbai attacks in India. It was in the local Indian papers. The head of Indian intelligence said it was Western run. Turned out the CIA ran it. Landed on boats, a bunch of guys on PCP and LSD who weren't even Muslims, who all got killed or committed suicide, and the video shows them whacked out of their minds. I knew instantly they were mind controlled. Ladies and gentlemen, they admit, it's mainstream news, look it up, that there is a CIA base within Camp X-Ray in Guantanamo Bay where they admittedly engage in, quote, mind control. That's even Time Magazine. They had this stuff perfected in the 1950s without microchips. The point is, they've got five bills that actually ban online ammo sale, ban the owning, the holding of all semi-autos, all mags over 10 rounds or guns that can take the clips. Now Obama says he's going to sign an executive order on everything in the Cybersecurity Act, which they admit is an internet takeover and had a gun ban in it. Ladies and gentlemen, I've asked Paul Watson to add to his latest article that's at InfoWars.com right now that's so key for everybody to retweet and get out to everybody. Eyewitness, four-man team behind Sikh temple shooting. I'm having Watson add links to not one, not two, not three, but four White House advisors in the last 2 years. Even in the Financial Times of London, Robert Shapiro said, barring a new Oklahoma City or 9/11, where he can reach out to the public and look like a hero, he's not going to win. Then we have their internal fundraising memos that came out, where they said, don't worry, to their million-dollar donors, don't worry how bad the polls look. All we've got to do is have a new terror bombing or mass shooting, and we're going to blame it on the Republicans. Now, again, I'm not even a Republican. The point is, they said this, even Glenn Beck, in one of his last Fox broadcasts, said they're getting ready to blame people like himself, myself, and others with it. We've played that clip before. Even Michael Savage has said this. The point is, I had Larry Pratt on last week, the second biggest gun group in the country. He said, yes, we have to look at this as an inside job. The point is, this may, one chance out of maybe 20, dead reckoning here, may have been right-wing establishment lunatics that did this, probably being led by a federal informant if we follow the MO. There is a slight chance, and I'll tell you why. I even knew somebody from high school after 9/11 beat up a Sikh at a gas station because they were so stupid. A, they think it was a Muslim and that all Muslims were involved, but B, thinking people wearing turbans are Muslims when most Muslims don't wear turbans. It's the bright turbans of the Sikhs, who, by the way, are in constant wars with the Muslims in India. Yeah. It's a completely opposite group and are generally pro-West. The point is, it could have been hopped-up maniacs profiling it, white supremacist types on methamphetamine, led and commanded by an FBI informant. Now, I know this so well, folks. I, 6 months before Hatari got set up in Michigan, put out a video saying they're run by feds out of 2,000-plus militia groups. They're about to be set up. I just know when I see it how it's operating. Probably totally staged, but they will still have to have patsies. I'm profiling it as right-wing white supremacists led by FBI or maybe even above that, CIA handlers. I fingered Hal Turner 10 years ago as a top FBI national security asset. It came out last year in federal court. So So, again, I know what I'm talking about. I eat, drink, and sleep this 24/7, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, when I take off a few days from the office, I work even harder because then I'm kind of out of the regular office decisions and, you know, buying trash bags or coffee or dealing with, you know, bills and things like that, and I'm just immersed in the info. And I'm telling you, look at the season of this when they've got all these anti-Second Amendment pieces of legislation. Now, we'll be covering this all tomorrow. Mike Adams is going to be in studio, but don't worry. I'm going to make sure Paul Watson's in there with info. I'm going to make sure Aaron Dykes rotates in every other segment for a few minutes with the latest info. I'm going to be calling in. I may even come in. I'm taking care of a bunch of stuff here at home right now, but the point is, this is big, so the weekday show, 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, it kicks off tomorrow. Now, here's the bottom line. I was coming home Friday night at about 9:30, and I walked into the gas station to buy a lime Topo Chico, and it was like being punched in the stomach. I knew this was coming, but I shot a video that night, wrote a story about it. It's up at Infowars.com. Because it made me so angry to know that it's actually happening. Remember last year, the Austin Energy Commission, Austin Energy came out and said, yeah, we've already doubled your prices the last decade. They're going to double or more again. And the announcements have been made. Everybody sees it in their power. It's happening in other areas of the country as well. And this will affect everybody because they're shut. Texas supplies five states. Those states supply surrounding states. It's how the grid works. We have to buy our power now, a lot of it from Mexico, who does have dirty burning coal. The new coal is very clean. Only water vapor and carbon dioxide comes out. Lee Leffingwell, our globalist mayor, says he will not allow a referendum for the scum of Austin that he rules. But you know, he acts trendy and wears a suit, so it's okay. And he is announcing that they've already shut down two of our power plants and massively increased our prices. We own a third of a giant Fayetteville complex. It's three power plants. We own one of them. They're shutting it down. I said in the video it supplies 33%. That was the Statesman. I have estimates from the Texas Energy Commission that sometimes it supplies 50-plus percent. Now, a foreign army couldn't do this. The city council is going to sell to insiders for pennies on the dollar. This is how globalism, insider crony capitalism works, monopoly, anti-free market garbage. They are going to sell it. You can go look it up. It's the Statesman even admits it, but it's very proud of it, our local traitorous paper. And they say that they're going to sell it off, and they're going to sell it off to a globalist company that's going to mothball it. And then down the road, we might get some windmills, which they admit bankrupted Spain and don't work and are giant scams and kill the birds. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen, in your face, and the Statesman reported it. On Friday, council eyes coal plant sale. When you read it, the Austin City Council took the first step Thursday towards selling the city's share of a coal-fueled power plant that provides a third of Austin's electricity. Try 50% at peak times. And now they're telling us get ready for power outages. And Aaron, you drove the nail through the board when you said Enron. Enron would made up to $3 billion a day in 99, 2000 in California and on the West Coast. They would artificially cut the power. This is all came out in court because they said if we cut power, people will think of it as scarce. We can charge up to 20 times more during these peak periods. They developed the smart meters that are only now going in after, you know, Ken Lay's been long gone. This is a total takeover. Folks, the only way to rob a bank isn't just rob a bank. If you can go in with the complexity of this stuff and shut down power plants that aren't part of the insiders, the insider power plants make huge profits. Now their competition is shut down. They sell a lot less power for a lot more. It hits low-income people the worst. It is a robbery of every person in Central Texas and every person nationwide. It is diabolical. But because the traitorous media is owned by these offshore banks that are doing all this, Bilderberg 4 years ago, as you know, Perry was there, and they discussed how they were going to do this. That all came out. They are so traitorous that no one will tell the people, no one will warn them, no one will stop them. So look out. They're also talking about the same, you know, criminal groups that took all the land in the 90s and then turned around and built on it, claiming it was for the environment. Those same groups are going to start snatching more land. They want to raise your property taxes. They want to bankrupt you. They want to drive you into submission. This is an organized crime takeover, ladies and gentlemen, and anything is possible with these people because we're asleep at the switch. We better come together. The only reason we have freedom in America is because our forebears would fight for it and wouldn't be slaves. America isn't perfect, but it's been the best country ever because our forebears fought for their private property, and that's why we've been so rich. But now the collectivists are taking over, and it's not because they care about the little guy. God bless you, men. We'll be back on the radio tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central.
That's Alex Jones. He's talking about a literal monopoly of power. The end game is North Korea, where you might get 2 hours a day if there's a state parade. We can't let that happen in America. We'll be back. Infowars.com. Rebroadcast starts there. And we're going to have a lot more.